This is a recording of my conversation with Jamie Miller, CEO of Emplero. Jamie shares his views on marketing technology, the benefit of delivering personalization at micro-segment level, and concrete success stories. We end with what might change post-COVID once CMOs and marketing departments restart their work. I am talking to Jamie Miller, CEO of Emplero. This is a special episode. As I was reaching out to Jamie to invite him to the podcast, the news came out that due to the COVID crisis and reduction in the marketing budget, Emplero had to significantly reduce their employee numbers. The impact of COVID is real. We are all affected. But in some cases, the consequences are dramatic. As this is a podcast about ideas and their implementation, Jamie kindly accepted to still participate. And for this, I'm very grateful. Jamie, please introduce yourself and tell us about Emplero's journey and the situation today.
Sure, I'd be happy to, Chip, and thank you for inviting me. I've been in the software technology space for the last 25 years. The first half of my career was in operating roles, the chief operating officer and chief financial officer. And then about 10 years ago, I became more and more intrigued with the customer side of doing business in the space. And so I gradually started working my way to the front end of the shop, if you will, and have been a CEO of the last two companies that I've run, most recently Emplero. And Emplero is a marketing technology company, of which there are, if you look at the chart, something like 5,000 others in this space. We use AI and machine learning, which probably brings us down to 4,500 other folks who sound like us. But we really do something quite different. We've been around for about 5 years and providing really unique solutions in delivering machine learning and AI to help improve the sophistication in which one takes customer data, for the most part, first-party data, meaning that data that companies collect about their own customers, and use that in order to improve the personalization and the experience for those customers when that company is interacting with them. We are an enterprise-focused company. Our solutions tend to sort of span from $500,000 all the way up to multi-million-dollar solutions. And we were just setting out on our third round of venture capital financing when the coronavirus hit.
So before we talk more about Emplero, I'd like to start with a more general question. What are the key trends that you have seen in the past 2 years regarding marketing tech, marketing automation?
I think you really have to sort of start the story with the data, because all the stuff that we do that's interesting in marketing technology and the use of machine learning and artificial intelligence really begins with the data that companies collect on the interactions they have with their customers. And so really the first interesting trend, and you see this, I think, pretty universally, is that there is this massive push, especially in the enterprises, to organize data and to sort of rationalize and understand who the individual user is, the user ID, and then to sort of understand what data gets decorated off that user ID so that then you can take it to folks like us and do something with it. So I'd have to say that sort of the trend really starts a couple of years ago with the customer data platform sort of trend, which I think most of the folks who are familiar with the space sort of have heard that, at least in passing, which is really just a way of organizing customer data in a way that makes it easy to take advantage of that data in order to bring better solutions to individual customers. So that's sort of where it begins. I think there's a lot of I would say noise in marketing technology around segmenting customers, meaning how can I take data about that customer and better understand what other people are like that person and segment that person with other people who might respond just like them to interactions I might have. And really there's almost no limit to the kind of segmentation you can do. And there are certainly solutions out there, starting with the Salesforce.com, and then some other companies who do it on a more focused basis. But really at the end of the day, the idea is that what we can do today relatively easy and generically is segment customers based on attributes about them, and group them with other people to make people like them. so that we can send messages to those groups. But generally speaking, large groups, maybe several hundred thousand people serve groups. But if you've got 50 million customers, being able to market to somebody, 10,000 or 50,000 people that are like each other is actually kind of novel. I would say the trends are, if you really sort of want to nail the couple, it's that sort of organizing data, customer data, and then being able to segment that data. And then, of course, there's first generation, second generation marketing technologies that allow you to easily report on sort of statistically relevant information about groups, and easy to visualize data.
Now, moving on to Amplero, what problems does Amplero try to solve?
So at the heart of what Amplero solves is a better communication with a customer. And that's what we do. The big change or discovery that we've made is that if you're talking to people in groups of 500,000 or even 50,000, if that's your segment, even if you've got, as I mentioned before, 50 million customers, like some of our customers have, it's still a very generic group. And anytime you send a message, you're just hoping for the best average message for that group of, say, 50,000 people. When in fact, if you really dig into those individuals, and if you could create messages that were unique to each individual or each smaller group of individuals, maybe 100-person group of individuals, you discover that the attributes that you could use to describe one individual, an attribute being someone who might have not been in the store for the last, say, 45 days, or someone who tends to buy a particular brand, or someone who doesn't seem to be opening up emails for the last, say, 6 months, or someone who tends to buy online and pick up in a store, or someone who tends to like healthy dog products. All those are attributes about somebody. You can imagine that there are, if you were to describe a behavior relative to a company of an individual, you can imagine there could be 10 or 20 or 30 just basic attributes to describe that person. And in a world of 50 million customers with, really hundreds and hundreds of thousands of attributes that could describe any one of those, you can see where sort of being able to market to someone at 50,000 segment size is really not effective, at least not as effective as it could be. It's really as good as it could have been. But when you start to introduce machine learning and AI and start to do things at scale, we do something close to, I think, a trillion calculations, let's just say it's per week, in understanding our customers better. So when you get to apply machine learning and AI, all of a sudden it's impossible to do with much marketing individual, and really much, much more imperative to apply technology. And so that's what we do. So now we can send a message to somebody that is where we know 30 things about them that may bear on their willingness to have a discourse with you, or to buy a product, or to register for financial health education. It doesn't have to necessarily be selling something. It's just a response that you're looking for that's intended for that particular customer. And the more you know about them, and the sharper that message can be in tune towards them. And it's more than just sort of saying, "Hey, Jamie," in the subject line. That certainly does work better, and you probably want to do that. But really tuning messages in much more unique ways in terms of pricing something, if you're going to do a discount to somebody, do you provide them with rewards, or do you provide them with a 5% discount? What is that person most likely to respond to? And by the way, are those rewards instant rewards, or are those ones you've got to go in the store to redeem? And so there's so many things you can do in the mix, and understand exactly how to speak to an individual as if you have an intimate relationship with them and understand them deeply is what we do. There are very few, if any, solutions that can actually on the fly create that unique message based on a very tight segmentation. You can maybe generate 5, 6, 7 unique messages as a marketing department in a campaign. And then you may test a few of those messages to see which ones work best, and maybe have to arrive at one or two best messages.
Maybe we move and discuss a bit the technology behind what makes Amplero unique.
What makes Amplero unique is that once you have these segments and you've used these customer attributes, these descriptors of things customers have done in the past or currently, and their predilection to buy in a particular way or buy certain things, once you've done that, what you then need to be able to do is configure a message that is uniquely capable of generating the most likely favorable response with that customer. And that's really the heart of what we do. It's that automation between segmentation and message configuration and delivery And it includes time of day, frequency. I mean, it's not just what's in that message, but if you can imagine a message containing fields, subject line, the offer, you know, the image, the hero image, the time of day it's sent. So all of those cells are calibrations, and those are all variables. What we can do is we can identify exactly which of those variables need to be included in a message, including temporal information about when to send it and how frequently. We will statistically track a holdout group from the messages that we sent, because of course we're doing experimentation along the way, so we can prove always that this is a better message for this person than an alternative message is. What you get as a customer is measurable lift that you can then dive back into and understand exactly what it was about that message that created the lift. So it's really quite exceptional what we can do. And our customers tend to have, you know, a payback. And don't forget, we're talking about sort of $500,000 to several million dollars of year one investment. They usually have a payback within 6 months. And the first year, we expect to have sort of 300% return on investment. And it improves from there as we get better and better.
So what companies use Amplero? Could you give us some examples of success stories?
I would say anybody who's done a full implementation with us is a success story, because there's always incremental improvement to their baseline. But I would say that I'd give you two examples. So we tend to focus in verticals. And one of the industries that we've chosen is the retail industry, which is relatively broad. In particular, one of the areas that we found we have a tremendous amount of success in, and PetSmart would be a good example of one of those companies, is companies who have both online and brick and mortar presence. And that sort of that balance and confluence between how do I drive a customer to areas of unique value, where Amazon, for example, isn't just sort of the dominant and compelling sort of driver of purchase for my customer. So for example, if you've got a dog and that dog needs a grooming service, well, that's a brick and mortar activity that you can't do grooming unless you actually have some sort of contact with that dog. For the most part, the initiation of interest and the consummation of that appointment is going to happen online today. So for PetSmart, it's a perfect example where we can drive that online experience and drive folks into a store to deliver something that Amazon couldn't. Being able to deliver that differentiable piece of value for a retail customer and competing with sort of almost the price only convenience of online shopping only is one of the areas we've had a lot of success, simply because it's harder to do, and we can actually drive unique value. Another area that we focus on is financial services. We have a very, very large credit union called the BECU here in the Northwest. We have taken on a huge portion of, frankly, their day-to-day marketing. We are focused on programs that drive loan products for them, consumer education, financial education for their consumers. And for both of these companies, we're both in our second year. But BECU is our third year. And we are consistently delivering sort of 400 or 500% return on investment year over year.
Very good examples. So how do companies work with Amplero? How does the implementation look like?
So you can imagine that this is not something that you simply, you know, plug and play. There's a certain amount of work, because since data is the thing that drives sort of the value. We always perform an integration into data. Ideally, it's into a CDP, which a customer data platform, which is sort of a nice unified place to sort of get information, but it doesn't have to be. But we will do integrations to the ERP systems and suck in transactional data. We can pull psychographic data. We can, you know, sociographic data. We can pull website information. Of course, over time, we've made this very easy to do, so it's a relatively fast process. In parallel, then, we're working with the marketing department directly, as I mentioned before, to really understand sort of what strategies they're using, which means what are they trying to accomplish today with their marketing, and what techniques are they using to sort of accomplish that. That fundamental understanding gives us a starting point, and then we can start to develop use cases for them. We usually start out with two or three use cases, ways in which they can use our technology to get the most immediate return on investment, because everybody wants to prove that they just made the right decision. And I would say realistically, on average, we spend somewhere between 60 days and 90 days both developing the integration points, doing any sort of tweaking and unique stuff we might need to do in infrastructure, and developing those marketing strategies and the models. As we're in verticals, we use the same basic configurations for algorithms for each customer in that space, which is one of the reasons why we really focused on verticals. But yeah, by day 90, we are up and running. And as I said, in the first 6 months, we are usually an ROI, meaning we've delivered back. So it's a quick payback.
Jamie, for the final question, I would like to go broader again. What do you see in the future of marketing tech post-COVID?
COVID is not going to accelerate the pace of technology development, of course, right? This thing. So you really need to focus on the customer side of things. How has this changed the customer? And I think in all sorts of ways, it's affected the consumer. The fact that we're using Zoom right now to do this interview, we may be more sophisticated. We may have used Zoom or some other video chatting, video conferencing platforms in the past. But I can tell you that there are millions upon millions and millions of people who are now, it's now set become second nature. So there's just adoption of new ways of doing business for sure. But I think actually more interesting than that, or maybe as interesting, but more actionable than that, is so remember that marketing departments have been devastated by this. So all of our customers have had dramatic reductions in the number of folks in their marketing department, especially ones who were in the retail space. And so as these companies start to think about reassembling marketing in their company, 3 months ago, they had a legacy set of folks that they had to employ that had a job to do, that they had a way of doing marketing that was largely based on the way they've been doing marketing for the last 10, 15 years, let's just say. This gives a CMO a chance to rethink how they're going to do marketing. And I've had multiple CMOs tell me, when I put my team back together again, the first thing I'm going to think about is what technology is going to be at the center of my marketing. And then I'm going to start to, and I will build my teams around that, because everyone understands that the way marketing goes is going to be largely dependent upon our ability to automate the pieces of marketing that are not essential, essentially performed by humans. And that doesn't mean we're going to replace humans. What it means is we're going to let the humans do the things that they will do best in the marketing, which is design strategy. They're still going to have to do creative, right? But there are lots of things like delivering and configuring messages and segmentation and the analytics and all that sort of stuff. They don't need to have those people, at least not at the numbers they used to. So I think what's going to happen is, and it'll happen slowly, but as these marketing departments start to come back online, they'll be configured differently. There'll be more consideration given to the, well, what are the tools we're using and how do I hire the next set of people that are equipped for that next generation, that third generation of marketing. And that's where companies like us are going to be, I think, right at the center.
Jamie, this is a great insight. I'd like to thank you very much for taking the time and truly express the hope that Amplero will come back stronger than ever.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, Chip.